Well, turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow, please, in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence already and for the singing of the praises of our God and our Saviour. And Lord, help us to increase in our faith as the people of God. For Thou hast said that the just shall live by faith. Lord, bless us now as we come to Thy Word. Even, Lord, as we would consider Thy Word together, may it be to the strengthening of our faith, even today, as the people of God. Give help now in the ministry of Thy Word. Outpour Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Speak to every heart, Lord, and from the youngest to the oldest, may none of us leave this house unspoken to today by God. But Lord, write Thy Word upon our hearts. May it be used to bless, build up saints in the things of God. May it be used to save the lost and win the lost to Christ. And may Thy truth be used to bring honor and glory to Thy name. Undertake for us now, we pray. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Give enabling grace and wisdom, right words, liberty, Lord, from Yourself. And apply Thy Word by Thy Spirit to all our hearts. We ask it for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, the little text of Scripture I want to look at today with you, it consists just of six words. And you'll find those words at the opening statement of verse number 45 of Luke chapter 8, where it simply says, "And Jesus said, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now, the background to our text was during the Lord's ministry in northern Israel. That chapter tells of the Lord's visit to that place known as the Gadarenes. And there He delivers a man who had been possessed with a legion of devils. And in Bible times, the number of a legion was anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 or 6,000. This was a man who was demon-possessed, yet the Lord saved him, delivered him. He had been a pest and a terror to his society. But as a result of the Lord's touch in his life was dramatically changed for good, for time, and for eternity. And after this, the chapter tells how the Lord Jesus returns by boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And here the Lord is thronged by crowds. And in the midst of the crowd, a man called Jairus meets with the Lord. His 12-year-old daughter is very ill and she is dying. And he wants the Lord to come and to heal her and to raise her up. And responding to this plea for help, Christ makes His way to the home of Jairus. And again, as He makes His way, the crowds congregate around the Lord. And then the Lord, He stops on His tracks, He stops on His journey. And in the words of our text here in verse number 45 of the chapter, it says, "And Jesus said, Who touched me?" He asked the question, "Who touched me?" Peter, we see, protests at such a question, for we see that protest of Peter in the latter part of the next verse, verse number 45, where he says, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" In other words, he was saying, "Lord, everyone is around you, but everyone is pressing in upon you, yet you say someone has touched you," and he makes that protest. And following this, we see how a woman comes to the fore, and she kneels before the Lord Jesus Christ, and she tells how she had touched the hem of Christ's garment, and how she would be healed, or how she was healed of her disease. Her disease was an issue of blood, something that she had severely suffered for some 12 years of her life. And following her admission of touching Christ, we see how the Lord speaks wonderful words of comfort and consolation to this woman. And you see that there at the end of verse number 48 of the chapter, where it says, "And He," that's the Lord, "said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, this question of the Lord who touched me, it may have seemed strange. Indeed, it may have seemed uncalled for that day to the ear of the disciples and others that were gathered around. But as with all the statements of Christ, it is a statement that is full of great meaning. This is because it highlights some very important truths to us about the faith of God's people. And it is those same truths that I want to share with you and look at as we think of this question of the Lord, who touched me? What are these truths of faith that they remind us of? Well, first of all, these words remind us, I believe, of the division of faith. They remind us of the division of faith. With this question, who touched me? Christ was really saying that this woman was different from the rest of the crowd that day. And by this difference, indeed this division, was due to her faith in Christ. Verse 48, Christ refers to her faith. For he says there, daughter, be of good comfort. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And my faith in Christ had caused division that day. Faith in Christ had caused separation that day amongst the crowd. And just as faith caused division here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, so faith in Christ also means that there is a great division, even here in this congregation this morning also. Yes, in our congregation today, there is division through gender, through families, through occupations in life, through age. But people today, let me say this, the greatest and indeed the most solemn division that concerns us is the matter of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Yes, there are those of you in the meeting today and you've trusted Christ. You've put your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. You're resting upon Christ. You're leaning upon Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Redeemer, as your way to heaven. But then there are others also here in our meeting today, and you have never trusted Christ. You have never come to Christ. You have never repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And despite this most solemn of divisions, yes, we are here together in this congregation here and in our church building this day. But people, I must say to you that there's coming a day when saved and unsaved will be separated and separated forever, eternally separated. And that day is the day of judgment when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth in power and in great glory. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says, God have appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he have ordained. And that man is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he raised the third day from the dead. If you turn with me in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, you'll read there of this great division that will take place on the day of judgment between the saved and the unsaved, between those who have faith in Christ and those who have no faith in Christ for salvation. Look at what you read in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31 to verse 34 of the chapter. This is dealing with the end times, the day of judgment, the return of Christ. It says, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them. That speaks of division. He shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd, notice it, divideth his sheep from the goats. The sheep are God's people. The goats are the unsaved. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Look at verse 41 and verse 46 also. It says, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away, notice it, into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. What a division that will be that day when Christ sits upon his throne and judges the world in righteousness. It is a division. It is a separation that cannot be avoided, that cannot be escaped. Friend, in our meeting today, let me say this, that if you are saved by faith in Christ on the day of judgment, you will be separated with the sheep of God, God's people, unto life eternal in heaven and in glory. But if you are not saved on that day, you will be separated with the goats unto eternal damnation, eternal punishment, eternal judgment, and hell forever and ever. In that place which the Bible calls hell, you'll be eternally separated from God, eternally separated from Christ, from the Holy Spirit, and from all God's people. Never again will you meet with the people of God if you're found unsaved in the day of judgment. Oh, as you think of the words of our text today, when Christ put this question that day and said, "Who touched me?" See the division of faith. Faith divided this woman from the crowd that day. And friend, if you're unsaved today in this meeting, you're divided, you're separated from the people of God, you're on your way to a lost eternity. If you're found in the day of judgment unsaved, you'll be eternally separated from God and His people from forever and ever. In that awful place called hell, that place of eternal damnation and woe and judgment. Yes, our text reminds us of the division of faith. But then secondly, this morning we can say further that our text reminds us of the touch of faith. It says there in verse 45 of Luke chapter 8, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the words of our text here show that Christ is touched by faith. It is not works that touches Christ. It is not ceremonies that touches Christ. It is not rites and rituals and relics of men that touch Christ. No, Christ is touched by faith alone. That's the truth underscored here in our text. And Christ Himself points to this in verse 48 when He says to this woman, He says, "Thy faith have made thee whole." Again, look at what He says in the latter part of verse 46 of the chapter. He says, "Somebody," notice it, "have touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." You see, there were many others in the crowd that day that pressed upon Christ, but they never really touched Christ. They never made this vital contact with Christ that day. Why? Because they had no faith. But this was not so with this woman who was poor and needy. Yes, she comes in faith to Christ. And in faith, she touches Christ and she is made perfectly whole. She is healed of her disease on that occasion. Under Jewish law, indeed account of her particular disease, that woman would have been excommunicated from the worship of God in the temple. She would have been divorced by her husband. She would have been ostracized by her society, the Jewish society. That was the Jewish law regarding that matter for some 12 years. Her body would have been very weak and emaciated. And her case was one of extreme misery and poverty and need. Yet she hears of Christ. She hears of His power to heal her and in a sense of her great need. Indeed, knowing that no one else could help her. For look at verse 43 of the chapter. It says, she had spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. Her case was desperate. She was in tremendous need. She knows that no one else can help her apart from Christ. And in her weakness, and in her disease, and in her great need, she somehow that day makes her way through the crowd to Christ. And she touches Christ. She touches the very hem of His garment. Look at verse 44 of the chapter. It says, she came behind Him and touched the border, that's the hem of His garment. She made her way through the crowd, and she herself would have been extremely weak and exhausted. But she presses through the crowd that day, and she touches Christ. She touches the border of his garment, the hem of his garment. And in the original language of the New Testament, that word touch there, as you find it in verse 44, it really means to clutch. It means, if you like, to grasp with all your might, with all your strength, with every fiber of your being. Well, here was a woman, and she was totally dependent upon the Lord for healing on that occasion. And by that clutch, indeed, by that grasp of faith, she is not disappointed. For look at what we read there at the end of verse number 44. It says, and immediately it says, her issue of blood stands. She was healed immediately. There and there on the spot. And dear people, in our meeting this morning, here we see the vital lesson that it is by faith alone that we touch Christ. It's by faith alone that we touch Christ, and likewise, it's by faith alone that we then know, as a result of touching Christ by faith, that we ourselves know the touch of the Lord and the power of the Lord in our own hearts and lives also as people. See, Christ is only touched by faith, by nothing else. Not by rites, ceremonies, relics, images of men, no. But by the touch of faith is Christ alone touched. And you know, the great tragedy today is this, that in many lives, yes, there are people, they go to church. They hear God's word faithfully preached and presented to them, yet their life is untouched by Christ. Their life is untouched by God. Their life is unchanged by God. And the reason is, they have no faith. They can assent, yes, with head knowledge to the preaching and to the ministry of God's word, but their life is unchanged because there is no faith in their heart. Dear friend, in the meeting this morning, understand this, that the Christian life is a life of faith. We were singing about that earlier on. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And Christ alone is the sole object of this faith. And the Bible sums that up in Romans 1 verse 17, where it says, the just shall live by faith. The hymn writer refers to this very fact when they said, I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. Indeed, it is by faith alone and Christ alone, dear friend, that you can know your sins forgiven. That you can know in your heart peace with God. That you can know everlasting life and be assured of a home in God's heaven one day. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible speaks of the sacrifice of Christ, all for our salvation. It says, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Dear friend, it is by faith in Christ and the sacrifice alone for salvation that you can be saved. Saved even today. Saved from your sin right now in the seat we are sitting in. And made sure of heaven. That's the promise of God. The promise of the gospel. The message of God's word. For the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Friend, follow the example of this woman. She trusted in Christ. If you're not saved today, man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting, don't go on one moment longer in your unsaved state, in your unsaved condition. But come to Christ today and put your faith and trust in him. The Christian life begins by faith, and the Christian life continues by faith. You see, as you and I as believers would seek to live the Christian life, we live that life by faith in the Lord alone. And child of God, it is by faith in the Lord alone that you serve the Lord, by looking to him, depending upon him. Believer, it is by faith alone that you overcome this world and the ungodly pull of this world and are victorious as a believer in all the trials and all the burdens of life. John says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. There's victory for us as Christians in this world by the life of faith, by looking to the Lord, depending upon the Lord. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He was saved by faith, and he lived the Christian life by faith in the Lord, by depending on the Lord. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2 and the verse number 20. Look at the testimony here of Paul the apostle, saved and serving the Lord for many a year. But notice it's still a life of faith. Galatians chapter 2 and the verse number 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life, notice it, which I now live in the flesh, he says, I live. How did he live as a Christian? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul could say later on in the same book, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He lived the Christian life by faith. And child of God, in our meeting today, whether you're saved recently, maybe just young in the faith, maybe you're on the road to heaven for many a year as you go on in the Christian life, Christian with the eye of faith, keep looking to Christ. Keep your eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ever looking unto him, the Bible says, the author and the finisher of our faith. And as you go through your Christian life day by day, keep Christ before you. He is your shield. He is your all in all. He is your Savior, your Alpha, your Omega, the author and the finisher of your faith. Yes, these words remind us of the division of faith. They remind us, yes, of the touch of faith. But notice one final thought here in connection with our text. They also remind us of the witness of faith. It says in verse number 45, our text, and Jesus said, who touched me? As a result of this question, as a result of these words, this woman here, she was compelled to declare before others that day what had happened to her. For look at verse 47 of the chapter, following on from our text, it says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him, notice it, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. You know, this woman had hoped that she could be healed and just remain in the background. In other words, if you like, just remain a secret disciple or follower of the Lord. But the Lord didn't allow this. The Lord did not permit this. For by this question, he causes this woman to come to the fore, to come out in the open, and to witness for Christ and to confess Christ before others that day. You see, this question has compelled her to speak out for the Lord. And you know, in like fashion, child of God, can I say to you this morning that confession of Christ before others, it's a must for your life and a must for my life also. And the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. We're to witness for Christ. Think of the man who was saved at Gadara. Just turn the page back in your Bible to verse number 39. Look at the instruction that the Lord gave to that man. He said, return to thine own house and show how great things God have done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He was to witness also for Christ, of what Christ meant to him, of what Christ had done for him. This woman was to do the same. And likewise, child of God in the meeting, you and I are called and saved by God's grace to do the same for whatever length of time we have here on this earth. Christian, whenever you are saved by faith in Christ, you're to confess Christ as Savior to others. You're to tell others that you're saved. You're not to hide your light under a bushel. You're to witness for Christ. We are to tell others of Christ by our words, also by living a holy life. We witness for Christ by living a life that is separate from the sinful ways of this ungodly world. We witness for Christ. And also, believer, you show to others that you belong to the Lord by faithfully attending God's house where His word is preached and proclaimed. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, the Bible says. And we also show that we belong to the Lord by our praise. You turn back to Psalm 81. We looked at that psalm the other night in our prayer meeting, and notice how it begins. It's really a command of the Lord to all His people. Psalm 81, verse 1, it says, "Sing unto the Lord God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." Whether with a note in our head or not, we're to sing out the praises of God as we gather together with God's people in the house of God. It's all part of our witness for the Lord. Also by prayer, private prayer. By attending the public place of prayer, we witness for the Lord. The Lord says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And not only by prayer, by praise and attending God's house, but also as Christians by partaking of God's ordinances, the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's table. We profess before others, we show to others, we confess Christ, our new life in Christ, that our sins are forgiven, put away by the blood of Christ, that we belong to the Lord. And Christian, you and I are saved not to be secret disciples. God wants you in this world to shine for Him, to witness for Him, to speak a word for Him, be it in your home, be it in your community, your workplace, wherever God leads you in His providence day by day. God has you there for a purpose, and it is to reach others with the gospel. Maybe that preachers, evangelists, and missionaries will never reach. That God has you in a particular place for a purpose to speak for Him. And you'll see here from the passage that this woman's witness, it really led to three things. It bore forth much fruit. She receives a wonderful word of assurance regarding her own salvation in Christ. And look at that word of assurance that the Lord gives her in verse 48 of the chapter. He says, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Remember, this woman was ostracized in Jewish society because of her need and her situation. She was a cast out. But the Lord doesn't cast her out. He makes her a child of God. Notice how He refers to His daughter, a child of faith. There's a wonderful picture of the Lord in Psalm 47. It says of the Lord that He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. This woman was really an outcast in society. But the Lord gathers her unto Himself and He assures her of her salvation that day. He says, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And you know, there are many Christians as they go through life, and at times they begin to doubt their faith. They begin to doubt their salvation, and they lose the assurance of salvation. Why? Because they do not confess Christ as they should. Believer, I say to you this morning, the more you confess Christ, the stronger your faith will become. The stronger your assurance of salvation will be as a believer. The Bible says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is by confessing Christ before others that you will be strengthened in your faith and your walk with God. And not only was this woman given a blessed assurance of her salvation, we see also by her confession of Christ, she was to encourage Jairus, the other man that the passage talks about. If you know, whenever Jairus saw what Christ did for this woman, he himself was encouraged that the Lord also would come and touch and heal his daughter. It's very interesting to note what is said here in the passage. You look at verse number 43. We're told here this woman was ill. How long was she ill? For 12 years. Look at the verse before that regarding Jairus' daughter. What age was this little girl who was sick? She was just 12 years also, the same age as what this woman was ill for. No doubt Jairus realized when the Lord's healing touch was upon this woman who was ill for 12 years, the Lord was able also to come and touch and raise up his little girl who was just 12 years of age. And by the witness of this woman, Jairus was encouraged that day.
And believer, the Bible says that none of us liveth unto himself. And believer, by confessing Christ before others, you'll encourage others. You'll encourage others who are unsaved to come to Christ for salvation. And you'll encourage other believers, other Christians also, to live for Christ, to prove the Lord and to stand for the Lord. My, for none of us are an island unto ourselves. But then in the final place, we can say that by our witness, this woman glorified the Lord that day before others because she showed to others that day that Christ was the Messiah, the Savior, the one who had healed her, the one who had saved her. Look again at verse number 47, the latter part of that verse. It says, she declared unto him, notice it, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed. Immediately, she was a witness of Christ to the entire crowd that day. And believer, can I say this? By witnessing for Christ, you'll glorify the Lord. Yes, you show to the world that Christ is your Savior, that Christ is your all in all. And the Bible says, do all to the glory of the Lord. And by letting your light shine before men, you'll honor the Lord. You'll exalt the Savior. You'll uplift the Savior before others. You remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 66, verse 16. He says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what the Lord has done for my soul. And that's really what that woman was doing that day. She was declaring before others. She was glorifying the Lord. What the Lord had done for her, what the Lord meant to her. And Christian, I say to you daily, by God's grace, seek to witness for Christ, to confess Him as Savior, and God will bless you. He will use you wherever you are in your daily life. Remember the woman of Samaria whom the Lord saved in John chapter 4? She bore witness for Christ. And what does it say in John chapter 4? It says, many of the people believed on Christ for the saying of the woman. Turn back just to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. And here you read again of the account of the man who was saved, of the Gadarenes. And look at what is said there in Mark chapter 5, verse number 20. And with this I close. It says, and he departed, began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And notice what it says. And all men did marvel. He left an impact for God. And Christian, whether our life be short, whether our life be long upon this earth, may we seek each one in our daily places to make an impact for God. How? By confessing Christ, witnessing for Christ before others, and bringing glory to the Lord in our lives. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 309. 309, thou hast snapped my fetters, thou hast made me free. Liberty and gladness I have found in thee, liberty from bondage and from my weary load. Satan's slaves no longer, now a child of God. We'll stand as we sing this great old hymn reminding us of the life of faith and the need to witness for Christ and confess Christ before others. 309, standing as we sing.
Liberty from bondage, from my weary Lord.
dismiss us now with thy fear, thy favour, and thy blessing. Write thy word upon all our hearts. For all who are saved, strengthen us in our faith and in our walk with God. Help us in the week that lies before us to let our light shine before others, that we might bring glory to God, and even by the means of pointing others to the Saviour. And for any, Lord, in our meeting today, and they have no faith, they never came to Christ, they never trusted Christ as Saviour, oh, may they realize their great need of Christ today and put their faith and trust in Him. Part us with your fear and blessing. Grant now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and always. Amen. Amen.